I told you I'd be back soon. It is the Pure Opelka podcast for this Wednesday, the 17th of April. Man, April is moving and grooving pretty quickly. A lot to get to today. I promised you Lauren Fix would be here. She won't be here. She'll be back either tomorrow or Friday. Dr. Roizen tomorrow with our usual Wellness Wednesday segment on a Thursday. I know. Everything's in an uproar. All kinds of madness around here. But we have a lot to get to, including my review of Civil War, the movie that a lot of people were very worried was going to be kind of negative towards conservatives, Trump fans, etc. I think you'll be surprised when you get my reaction. But let's do a little bit of history on this day back in the day. In 1790, Benjamin Franklin passed away at the age of 84, which is kind of amazing because we're all told, you know, people didn't live that long back then. And you got to be careful about what you eat and drink and smoke and all that stuff. And Franklin was known for being a bon vivant, a man who loved life, who enjoyed life, ate and drank like it. And he made it all the way to 84 back in 1790, and a great American. In 1945, America seized 1,000 pounds of uranium that was going to go to Russia, to the Soviets, and they were planning on making an atomic bomb with it. That was a very smart move. On this date in 1964, the Ford Mustang debuted at the World's Fair, and I was hoping to have Lauren here to talk about that. She's a big Mustang fan. We'll get to her later this week. On this date in 1969, less than a year after he pulled the trigger that killed Robert Kennedy, the presumptive Democrat nominee for the president in 1968, Sirhan Sirhan was convicted of killing Robert Kennedy. On this date in 1979, I know somebody's drinking it today. Absolut Vodka arrived in America. Swedish Vodka arrived in America. And then a couple of weird things happened on this date in 2020. The first one was a consequence of the COVID lockdowns. 22 million jobs just went away because of COVID and all the lockdowns. A month of COVID lockdowns killed 22 million jobs. And on this date in 2020, Land O'Lakes Butter removed the Native American princes from the box because, you know, we were all nervous about that being racism. It wasn't. What a stupid move by Land O'Lakes. They also got rid of Mrs. Butterworth, Uncle Ben's rice as well. We just all were crazy. And remember all the things that Trader Joe's was selling? Trader Joe's used to label their Mexican foods Trader Jose's, and people got mad about that. It wasn't an insult, and some of it was pretty good. These people were just stupid. That's my little history review. Now, what happened yesterday? Well, we had, of course, another day of court for Mr. Trump. He had to show up in a Manhattan court as jury selection continued. There will be no jury selection today. Weird to have a midweek day off and then make people show up on Friday. And some are speculating that the Friday sessions are completely, completely calculated to prevent Orthodox Jews from getting on the jury pool. A gigantic number of the Jewish population in New York City are Orthodox Jews, and they would not be available to go to the courthouse on Friday because of their faith. So that precludes them from being in the jury pool. And the Orthodox Jews in New York tend to support Mr. Trump. Is it that big of a conspiracy theory? I don't think so. I think it's obvious. But we'll see what happens. And Mr. Trump in court can't be out campaigning. But he did stop off at a bodega in Harlem, and it was not a random stop. It was a very well-planned, calculated stop for Mr. Trump to visit this bodega. It is a bodega where a criminal act happened when one of the criminals in New York City tried to rob this small bodega, and the owner, who has now gone back to his home country of the Dominican Republic, the owner took out a knife and defended himself and ended up getting charged charged with murder until the people spoke up and created such an uproar. But Mr. Trump was there, and the crowd that gathered was amazing, and they showed up and chanted on behalf of Donald Trump. Here's a little bit of that.
We love Trump! 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 We love Trump!
Yeah. Nice crowd gathered on the streets of Harlem, chanting for Donald Trump. Mr. Trump spoke briefly to the media outside of the event, just very briefly, talking about crime in New York.
It's a rigged trial. Our courts, everything is screwed up in New York. There's no crime. You know where the crime is? In the bodegas, where they come and rob them every week.
Yeah, that's true. And then they don't charge him. Good move by Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Joe Biden started a three-day campaign swing in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania being a gigantic swing state, and currently has Democrats very nervous. So Joe is on the road. Yesterday in Scranton, today he'll be in Pittsburgh, and on Thursday he will be in Philadelphia. Interesting. No questions allowed to be taken. They did a couple of small events with Joe speaking, and I'll play you some of that. But the weirdest one, especially when you compare and contrast it to Donald Trump outside of the bodega, the weirdest one for me was Joe Biden walking with children. They had pre-screened a bunch of children to walk with Joe, and grandpa's holding their hands, and it's all highly choreographed and scripted. Joe is leading or being led by the kids, and no one's asking questions. They're just doing this for optics. Oh, there it is. The parents are chanting, "We love Joe," not the kids, unlike the Trump situation. Now, back inside the event at the Carpenters Union Training Center in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Joe wandered about in his brain talking about polling. And I don't think any of this makes much sense.
I've been to every single of the toss-up states so far. And guess what? If you knock anybody knows anything about polling, it's awful hard to poll these days. Because, no, I'm serious. But guess what? Even in the polls that are being used now, we're heading in 35 polls.
No, that's not true. That isn't even close to being true. We can go to the Real Clear Politics average and show that Donald Trump is ahead in most of the swing states, or as Joe likes to call them, the toss-up states. Biden's ahead narrowly in one. But it's really Trump that's leading. But that wasn't the most troubling moment from Joe Biden yesterday. The bizarre, strange story about answering a door in a motel while he was standing in a towel with shaving cream on his face. Seriously, what the heck is this? What in the heck is Joe Biden trying to say?
One day I showed up at an off-year convention, and I was in the motel, after the local motel, getting changed after the afternoon session, go back to the evening session. I'd come down with some young activist who, a little older than me, but still young activists who were involved in trying to reform the party. And I was in one of those 8x10 bathrooms, you know, they have shower, toilet, and a sink. And I got a towel on me and shaving cream, and I hear bam, bam, bam at my door really loudly. And I wonder, what the hell is that? I thought it was this guy, Bob Cunningham, on a radio show, and a couple other guys. So I said, okay, guys. And I walked to the door and opened it up, and standing there was the former governor of the state of Delaware, Albert N. Carville, a big guy, about 6'5", talked at you like this. And the state representative who got defeated 4 years earlier as a Democratic state rep who was retired, and one of the from the family that had more senators appointed than any other family in American history, to the Tunnels, and a former retired justice. And the state chairman. And they said, "I'm standing a towel and shaving cream on my face."
What does that even mean? I hope somebody can explain it to me someday. How is this guy even close to Donald Trump? Well, we know that there is so much Trump derangement syndrome in America, that there are a certain group of people who will automatically vote for Democrat no matter what. It's really kind of sad and kind of strange. But that was yesterday. We'll see what happens in Pittsburgh today, and we'll give you the update tomorrow in the podcast tomorrow. So no court today. There was an interesting moment in the Supreme Court in the argument for a January 6th defendant and Judge Gorsuch pointing the parallels to the January 6th defendant and Jamal Bowman, the Democrat who pulled the fire alarm to prevent a vote, which I thought was absolutely brilliant by Judge Gorsuch. Brilliant, sir. In the world of news in the Middle East, what the heck is happening halfway around the world? Well, the White House says they're about to announce some new sanctions on Iran, because that'll make them stop after you gave them all the money. Israel claims that they've taken out a senior Hamas commander. Will that trigger yet another retaliation from Iran? Iran also has reportedly closed its nuclear facilities because they anticipate retaliation from Israel. Yes, that's going to happen. And then back at home, at the Google headquarters, you had a bunch of Israel haters take over the CEO's office. The CEO of the cloud business was taken over by a bunch of Google employees who were in the office. They were mad and they were demanding action because Google was doing business with Israel. Yeah, Google's doing business with Israel, and they don't want it, so they occupied the CEO's office and were chanting,
Google, Google, you can't hide.
No, Google, Google, you can't hide.
You are funding genocide.
You are funding genocide.
Aren't they clever? They are so darn clever, these people. I wonder if they'll have jobs. I wonder. I'm pretty sure that if you fired them, there'd be an uproar. But Google's so big, I don't think they care. I would fire them just because you're not allowed to take over the CEO's office. I don't think they did any damage or glued themselves to his cool office furniture. But they were there. We'll see. The NPR veteran editor, a guy's been there for 25 years, who spoke out against the rather pointed political thinking at NPR, has been put on a 5-day unpaid suspension and threatened with his job if those protesters worked at NPR and spoke out about the prejudice against conservatives. I wonder if they'd be promoted or terminated or suspended. We'll keep an eye on that case as well. Now, the film that topped the box office this past weekend was Civil War. And a couple of months ago, we started seeing promos for the film Civil War. And a lot of people were saying, oh my God, they're trying to spark a civil war in America. They're trying to make just a total split in the country and get us all fighting each other. And I was curious about the movie because it stars Nick Offerman and Kristen Dunst. And I like Offerman. I think he's a very talented guy. You remember him from Parks and Rec. I also know he happens to be a very big liberal. He's not a conservative. He kind of plays the opposite on Parks and Rec and in some other things he's put out on TV. But Offerman, a very good actor, is playing the president in this film. A president who has refused to leave office and is in the middle of his third term. So they're painting him as a fascist who won't leave office, who won't respect the Constitution. And apparently civil war has broken out. That's kind of all we knew. So I waited for it to open up and I saw it on Monday evening. And I was the only one in the theater in Wilmington, Delaware. I put a picture of the empty theater online, which kind of surprised me because you think, okay, it's the number one movie. Surely some of the people who couldn't go over the weekend will join me on this Monday evening. No, it was just me. All by my lonesome. And I actually got a discounted ticket, which I felt happy about. My ticket was $8.50. And then I wanted popcorn and a soda. Popcorn and a soda. That's all I wanted. The popcorn and soda was $16.50, and it was the basic package. $16.50. So the popcorn and soda cost more than my ticket to see the film. I don't know what I'm more angry about, the film or the soda and popcorn price. We'll get into that. But to understand the Civil War trailer, it was pitched to us as kind of this end of America film with these sweeping shots of planes, fighter jets coming over Washington, D.C. at night, rockets going into the Lincoln Memorial, helicopters swirling around the White House and the Washington Monument, and rockets and fire going into the White House. It looked like it was a serious action film. It is not an action film. It's a serious film. But judging from the trailer, you wouldn't think so. Let me just give you a little bit of the early trailer.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol.
Every instinct in me says this is death.
So it sounds like a real high action explosive film. And there are scenes with a lot of action and explosives. Very dramatic. But this is more of a story about four photojournalists. It's mostly about four journalists who go to Washington, D.C. in an attempt to reach the president, who has barricaded himself inside the White House while there is a civil war going on across the country. And we never really hear how the Civil War started. We don't see too many scenes of battles between the U.S. Army and the Western Forces, as they're called. We just see some random shots. And I wonder how much they spent on the movie. It made 25 plus million over the weekend. It was the number one film over the weekend. But it's more of a story about Kristen Dunst and how her career as a photographer appears to be coming to an end, how she has been everywhere and the big mission she had isn't happening. It's not about America being torn apart. And Nick Offerman, the guy who plays the president, well, he's in the very beginning and the very end. He's really not through the movie. And he explained that. He was on Jimmy Kimmel's show last night and talking with Kimmel about the film. I thought this was actually kind of interesting.
Extra good about yourself when they ask you to play the president of the United States?
Well, I mean, it depends. It really depends. But sure, I don't look at it that way, like, because it's not that big of a role. I feel I'm kind of like Sauron in the Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
You hear about him a lot, and they're always on the way to see him, but you don't really, he doesn't get a lot of screen time.
Yes, yes. And he's not a good president. I mean, he's not a,
good
guy.
He's not necessarily a good guy. I mean, he's just trying to pay his mortgage like anybody. You know?
Is he based on any of our recent former presidents?
Now, Kimmel trying to set up Offerman to try and say he's based on Trump with that obviously pointed question. Is he based on any of our recent former presidents? Nick Offerman has an interesting answer.
No, there are some details about him that, you know, he does lean towards fascism, but uh-huh. No. Alex was very clear, and it's an important part of the movie, actually, that there are no political echoes of real life.
Now, Alex is the director, the guy who I think wrote it as well, and he's saying it's important that we don't kind of mirror today. And I respect Offerman for saying that, but this is all about Kimmel trying to trash Trump. all about that.
It's a very fictional America, and you actually don't know who are in the sides of the war, and you don't know my president, you don't know what his politics are, other than he's full of
right, yeah.
Which,
yeah.
I mean, that could, you know, be anybody.
So Offerman kind of danced around the question, but Kimmel kept going back to it, and eventually Nick Offerman appears to have given in to his liberal instincts.
And so that's important to the film, because you come out of it having a conversation about should we head towards war versus the divisive conversations of like red versus blue, decency versus red, or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, I feel like.
Yeah. So Nick Offerman had to get a little dig in there. Decency versus red. He is a liberal. And he can't help himself. There was kind of an interesting thing, though, at the end that happened. The end of this interview on the Kimmel Show with Nick Offerman. And it was a discussion about what Nick Offerman would do if he were president. You know, Kimmel saying, hey, would you ever run for president? Have you ever thought about running for president? I thought this was kind of fascinating.
What would a Nick Offerman presidency be like? Have you thought about that?
I have thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I would pay a lot of attention to our agriculture. I'm going to answer you earnestly.
Okay.
I would urge our government to pass a new farm bill that pays attention to our farmers who are providing all the food that we eat and who we've come to ignore in this industrial time.
All right. Good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super sexy TV to talk about soil health, but I would also reinstate woodworking and kitchens and sewing in our schools and teach our kids
sewing
how to make things with their hands.
I think this is a real interesting point that all Americans could agree on, that food is important to us, and we have neglected the trades, the skilled laborers, for so long that people on the left and the right can agree on this. I think Nick Offerman gets it. Jimmy Kimmel wants to play, though.
Now, do they not have wood shop and metal shop in school anymore?
Most schools have done away with all of their shops and their home economics, like learning to cook. I mean, all of those things I loved across the board. I loved learning to make casserole, and I loved learning to build a table. All of those things you need. If you want to serve casserole, you need a table.
100%.
Yeah. Good stuff. Nick Offerman points out those center issues that I hope candidates on the conservative side of things will remember and keep bringing up, that we need to get back to protecting our food, which also means keeping the Chinese government from owning land in this country, keep the Chinese government out of America, and we need to teach kids that the trades are just as respectable, if not more profitable, than most college diplomas in terms of making a living. Learn how to fix stuff. Learn how to make stuff. Very important. Let me give you one more clip, the end of the Civil War trailer when it first came out. And this is kind of why I think most people thought this was going to be a high-action war film about the end of America.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
And then you see Washington, D.C. being strafed by rocket fire and missiles being launched into the Lincoln Memorial. It's really a strange film in terms of its construction, in my opinion. But there is a story here, and it's not a story about the end of America. It's a story about a veteran photographer who ends up wondering if her career as a war photographer, as someone who was in the middle of all the conflict, was worth it. And the relationship between Dunst and the young lady who plays the upcoming 20-year-old or 26, I don't forget how old this kid is, young photographer who tags along. Now that's the story of the film. And it really is the only message you should take out of this, is people asking themselves, was their path worth what they thought it would be when they chose the journey? It's not about a civil war. It's not a bad film. It's just not a great film. I give it a 6.5. And the question I would like to know, I have not been able to find out the answer to it just yet. The question I would like to know is, was Nick Offerman paid more than Ms. Dunst? Because I think she's the lead in the film. She has the most screen time in the film. She is the presence that I think everyone's looking for. Offerman is only in the film in the first couple of minutes and the final couple of minutes. It is not even a secondary character. It's a really interesting question. Maybe we'll get to it. Maybe we won't. If we get the answer, I'll share it with you in another podcast. Just a strange thought I had as I watched it. And I have a friend who's a movie reviewer, and she did not know the answer. So when she gets back to me, we'll talk about it too. I need to lighten things up here. Before we check out today, I want to pay tribute again to Jimmy Fallon and his team who put together what I think is one of the best parody songs of the year, and he deserves all the props for it. If you watched his Saturday Night Show, which I think got bumped this last weekend because of the attack on Israel, you didn't get to see it. Biden Lies from the Jimmy Fallon Show.
I got my education for real in the black
church. I got raised in the black church.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community.
I had a close relationship with the Greek community.
I am Joe Bidenopoulos.
You all think I'm kidding.
White House girls send Biden to bed early.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed.
Because he's really old and he's senile.
I taught at the University of Pennsylvania for 4 years.
He makes up so much crap, the country's worried.
Okay, you're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
He's lying like it's going out of style.
I have the great honor of being arrested on the streets of Soweto.
You can't hide Joe Biden's life.
I am a hard coal miner.
For a while, they made Saki try.
I used to drive a tractor trailer.
Thought by now, they'd realize.
I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school.
There ain't no way to hide Joe Biden's lies.
You have my word.
I give you my word.
I give you my word.
I guarantee you, give you my word as a Biden.
I 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 give you my word as a Biden.
That's just a bunch of lies.
Thank you, Jimmy Fallon. Really well done. Great stuff. Tomorrow, Lauren Fix, Dr. Roizen, and a boatload of information and fun. And don't forget, I'm going to be sitting in for Dan the Ox on a radio show in Minnesota tomorrow. So live radio from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. I'll post a link on pureopelka.com. Testudo, my friends. Testudo.